following Christ and fishing for men, we can turn to John, the chapter, John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20, and I realized that there in these lessons there's background reading to try to do each week, and of course we didn't get them handed out till this week, so then maybe some of you didn't see that's what we're going to be looking at. A lot of the verses in the background reading for last week we're going to be looking at this week, and then you can also memorize those for your memory verses. So next week we can look at Matthew 4, 2 Peter 3, 9. So those are the kind of verses that you should be memorizing. And it also gives you like seven passages, one passage for each day until next week. So you can do a little bit of homework for next week's lesson. So then you can come and already kind of knowing what we're talking about. So before we begin, does anybody have a Bible memory verse this morning? Mrs. Livingston. Good. Anyone else? Mrs. Spear. All right, good. That is our main verse this week. Mr. Spear. Mrs. Emeker.
Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee.
Amen. Good verse. Anyone else? Mrs. Slagle.
Last week's.
Okay. All right, good, good, good. Last week, I enjoy going through the book of Philippians. I'm already sad that it's over. Maybe some of you aren't sad, but I was very excited going through that, and it was a good study for me. Even I hope that you got something out of that last series. So anyone else have any Bible memory this morning? And maybe next week when we come together for next week's lesson, I will even ask the questions. There's a question for each day this next week, Monday through Saturday. Maybe I'll just ask some of the questions to see if anybody is going to do the background reading. And it's really simple. It's only about, Matthew 4, 12 through 20 is 8 verses, you know. Just add that onto your Monday's Bible reading, or if you're not reading your Bible consistently on a daily basis, start with that. Do something each and every day to learn something from the Word of God. So let's pray, and we will begin with lesson number one: Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone who's here this morning. Let's pray, Lord, that you would help the ones who aren't here to miss it, Lord, and also to be able to come next time we meet. I just thank you so much, Lord, for this church and this family. What it means to me, Lord, and what it means to my family, and ultimately what it means to you. Just have people faithful and coming and learning more about you, Lord. I just thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, Lord. I just pray that what would be said this morning would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, John chapter number 20, are you there yet? John 20. John chapter number 20, and starting in verse number 24. John chapter number 20, starting in verse 24. Now, you may ask, why are we... So the title of the series is Following Christ and Fishing for Men. So this book is about witnessing. It's going to encourage us, and we've done it. We went through this book. I remember doing this as a teenager. And it's encouraging us to be witnesses for Him and following Christ and fishing for men. Jesus said to His disciples, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's the goal in our lives. And as the church is really here to fulfill the Great Commission and to win more people to Jesus Christ. Next week, Lex and I will be leaving and taking off for Xenia, Kansas, in the middle of nowhere. But that is a ministry of this church to help another church have a vacation Bible school, but ultimately so that young people can hear the gospel and that families would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's kind of interesting because lesson number one, it starts out with Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why are we starting out with this lesson in a witnessing series? Well, this morning on the van, I was telling the young people the story of the wise man and the foolish man in the Bible. The wise man built his house on a rock. And the foolish man built his house on the earth, the sand. And the rains came and the floods came. And which one stood stand? The one that was built on the rock. So in order for us to effectively witness to other people about salvation and what and who God is and who Jesus is, we need to go outside of our house, if you'll follow me. And we need to go outside of our house and we need to re-examine our own foundation. Because how can we get other people to build the right foundation if we don't know ourselves, if we're not sold out on our foundation? And the foundation is Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus was not just a good man. Jesus was not someone who just is, you know, God created. No, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is God. So, John chapter number 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This was after Jesus rose again from the dead, and he appeared to them once, and Thomas wasn't with them. But he was with them the second time he appeared. And Thomas said, unless I see the prince in his palms and put my hand in the wound in his side, I won't believe that he rose again. So verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He didn't even need to put his fingers in his palms. He didn't put his hand in his side. He just said, my Lord and my God, because he saw him. Jesus saith unto him, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, our main verse for this lesson, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. As we have already talked about, we cannot be effective witnesses unless we ourselves are totally convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. Think about it. If Jesus was a good man, then what faith do we have that he can change our life? Because no single human being can change your life like God can. There is no possible way for him to change your life unless he wasn't God. Unless he was God. You know, it's if God requires a sinless sacrifice to pay for our sin, and the only way that you can be sinless is if you're God, but the only way you can die in the flesh is if you're a man, the only solution for our salvation is Jesus Christ. Both 100% God, and 100% man, 100% God, because he didn't die. He didn't die. He died in the flesh, but he was still somewhere. And he was man. He came in as a baby in Bethlehem, was born of a virgin, and was man. The only thing that could take away our sin was that God man. So Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Ultimately, what people have to come to grips with is what they're going to do with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 in your books. And verse 41. Matthew 22 and verse 41. Just got done telling them what the greatest commandment in the law was. And it's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And verse 41, chapter 22. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the Son of David. So Jesus is asking the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? Because your eternity depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. There's a song in our hymnal that says, what will you do with Jesus? Will you apply him to your life as the atonement for your sin and recognize that he is that God-man that can make that sacrifice? Or are you just going to think of him as some good person? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the Son of David. He saith unto them, verse 43, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make, thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And it's interesting because David called him Lord, but yet it was prophesied that Jesus was going to be born of the line of David. And David himself said, then the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. What do you do with Jesus Christ? David called Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament, Lord. In Psalms 110, and that's when David wrote that. And then in Hebrews, it talks about in the first chapter, obviously there was some, whoever was writing the book of Hebrews, there was some misunderstanding about angels. And the writer in Hebrews said that God didn't say to an angel, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God said to Jesus Christ, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. There's only one atonement. There's only one way that we can be saved. Christ is, as the blank says in your book, Christ is the creator God, not a created God. Up in heaven, he was told, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So what we do with Jesus Christ is the key issue. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. It's hard to believe that some people can claim to be studying the Bible and then come to the conclusion that there is not a Trinity. That there's three that bear record in heaven, and they are one. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 7. There was a Bible question on this a couple Sunday nights ago. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, God the Father. The Word, we know from John 1 that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus is likened to the very Word of God. So with the Bible that we hold in our hands is what Jesus left us with. We still have Jesus Christ, even though he physically ascended up into heaven. But in heaven, there's three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are, say it, one. They're not they're not three, and then, you know, you've got God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No, these three are one. How can you say that they're all the same? Well, pastors use this illustration. Water can come in different forms. It can come in steam. It's still water. It's still H2O. It can come in fluid form, water. But it also can come in ice. It's all H2O, but there's different forms of it. I've heard one other example is that my dad is my dad. But you know what's interesting is my dad is not only my dad. My dad is my grandpa's son. And he's also John Lee's grandpa. So how can one person be a dad, a father, and a son, and a grandpa all at the same time? And there's a whole lot more things that he is. He's an uncle. He's a cousin. There's so many more things. So how can one thing be all of them? Well, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is God in the Spirit. And what Jesus left us with, he left us with the Word, and he also left us with a Comforter, somebody who could reign inside of our hearts that we, if we would listen to, then we would live our Christian lives better and for him. Just different forms of God. Turn over to Matthew 16. A lot of turning. Matthew 16. There's attack on Jesus Christ. Religions that are started off of a man. If our religion, if what we believe is all based on a man and not God, the God-man, Jesus Christ, it's no different than believing in Joseph Smith or Brigham Young, and I have no idea what kept Brigham Young. Joseph Smith or Brigham Young or Charles Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses, there's no difference if Jesus was not God, because then Jesus would have just been a good man that did several good things. And therefore, what we believe is not really godly. It's not really related to the Bible. It's just a cult. Matthew 16 and verse 16. We'll start there. We'll start actually in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." John the Baptist possibly was probably executed by this time. "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" So they said, "Jesus, some people claim that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am? I know what all the men are saying. I want to know what you think." And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And he went on to talk about the church and how, "Hey, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." Peter means just a stone, a pebble. "But upon this rock, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." So you just called me Jesus Christ. But let me remind you of what you're called. You're called a stone. You're called a petal. "And upon this rock, my name's Jesus. Your name's Peter. Your name means a pebble. My name is the rock. My name is Jesus Christ. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus was and is still God. Jesus didn't claim to be somebody like John the Baptist, who was a radical, doing miracles, somebody who stood out. Jesus was not somebody who was claimed to be like Elijah, doing miracles, or Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jesus didn't claim to be any of those things. He claimed to be God. And he commended Simon for saying that everything that is true of God is true of Christ. If anything you can think of that you can say about God, you can say the same thing about Jesus. And it's important that in our lives as Christians, that we don't get lax about who Jesus is. I'll give you this example. The world uses his name flippantly as a curse word. They use God's name flippantly as a curse word. But if you truly recognized that Jesus is God, then you wouldn't treat him like somebody who can just take your beating. You can. There's people in the book of Hebrews, it condemns people for sinning and not caring, because you're adding pain to what Jesus already suffered. But if you recognize Jesus as God, you know what? You put yourself in the mindset that God in heaven, he didn't just save me. He is holy. He expects me to live a Christian life for him. And then there's people that say, well, I don't think it's right that you preach against sin and you preach on holy living, and you just shouldn't expect that. You're divisive. It's not fair. The truth is, it's not fair. Jesus died for us. That's not fair. So even though it may not seem fair to some people to live for God and treat Jesus Christ as your God, your Lord and your God, remember that it was never fair to begin with. Jesus died. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, died for worthless human beings. So, the turn of the page in our books, we're going to look at some points about this. One point that I had up here that my dad actually printed off this page here. Some people worship the eternal Lord Jesus Christ from everlasting. Others worship someone that was just really old. For instance, there's an attack on Jesus Christ and his sovereignty, his lordship. Micah 5:2 in the King James Version, the actual word of God. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall I come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In the ESV, it says, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Is that the same thing? In the NIV, it says, who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Ancient times and everlasting are two different things. And when you say that Jesus was just of old, then you're insinuating that God made him way back when. But no, the Bible actually says that he's from everlasting. God is everlasting, and so is Jesus Christ. There's an attack on the sovereignty, the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lord accepted what the Old Testament said about him. First point, the Lord accepted what the Old Testament said about him. Luke 24, we won't turn there. Luke 24, but the preacher a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night was talking about after Jesus rose again from the dead, he was walking on the road to Emmaus with two people, and he expounded to them. And in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, says in Luke 24:27, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Our Lord Jesus accepted what the Old Testament declared about him, that he is God. You know, in Isaiah 7, it says that he's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 9:6 says that he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So how can a child be born? And he's already the everlasting Father. Well, he's God. It wasn't just a good man. Jesus was not just a good man. He was God, and he accepted what it said about him. The Lord Jesus accepted these titles for himself. Either he is who he says he is, or he is a liar and an imposter. But he is not a liar, and he is not an imposter. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know what I have is that the only thing is that I can prove to you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is God. The only thing I have to point to is the Bible. So it really all depends on the Bible. What is your theology? The study of God. What is your idea of God? If it's not biblically based, it's wrong. That's why when the preacher gets up to preach, we need to have our Bibles in our hand to know that what he says lines up with what we're reading. We shouldn't bait. Everybody has a philosophy, what you think about this world, what you think about humans. But if your philosophy is not based on your theology, and if your theology is not based on the Bible, then it's warped. We can't just have our own philosophy, what makes sense to us, and then try to make our theology match up. No, we need to take our theology, what would we believe about God, from the Bible, and then, therefore, determine to think and reverse. So, I've said this a while ago, we think that the term brainwashed is always terrible. That teacher's brainwashing those kids. Well, the truth is, brainwash itself is not a bad word, because God wants to brainwash our brains to think like Him, to think like the Word of God. So Jesus accepted what the Old Testament said about Him. There's proof. There's proof, and it's all in the Word of God. Jesus Christ affirmed in the New Testament that He is God. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I'm going to stop over at John chapter 3 on the way there. You want to go to John 3 with me? That's perfectly fine. John chapter number 3, I'll read this verse in John chapter number 3 and verse 13. Jesus is talking to a religious man named Nicodemus. And he says to Nicodemus in verse 12, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" John 3:13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." No, wait a minute. Jesus is talking, and he says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven," talking about himself, "even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Heaven. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and saying, no one's ascended up to heaven, but he that descended came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, does that boggle our minds? Because Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is saying, well, wait, if you're claiming to be the Son of Man, the Son of God, you're standing in front of me. But yet you're saying, at the same time you're telling me that he's come down, that he's currently in heaven right now? Well, it's because Jesus is God, and God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's God. He's not just in one place. Here's a quick trick question. Did Jesus, when oftentimes we pray, and we say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving heaven and coming and dying for our sin." Well, I'm not picking on anybody that says that, but did Jesus actually leave heaven? Did Jesus leave heaven? Did he actually leave? Because Jesus says here, "I'm talking to you, and I'm saying the Son of Man has come down. At the same time the Son of Man has come down, He's in heaven. He's everywhere." Jesus didn't leave heaven. He just appeared in body form on earth. And by the way, when they killed His body on earth, actually when He gave up the ghost, His body on earth, He was still in heaven. Turn over to John chapter 5, as I said before, John 5. Verse 17. And he's being persecuted, it says in verse 16. Why? Because he just healed a man on the Sabbath day. "But Jesus answered them," verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They understood that if you called yourself the Son of God, it was the same as calling yourself God. Because they understood the Trinity. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You know, Jesus said that he was equal with God in his works. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Whatever God could do, Jesus could do. God created the world. He created the water. Jesus could walk on it. Same thing. And by the way, when I'm saying God and then Jesus, I'm referring to his person. They're both the same person. When God the Father made ingredients to make bread, then Jesus just sped up the process at the feeding of the 5,000 and just snapped his fingers and fed 5,000 plus people, multiplying bread. You know, it's crazy to think about. And you know, if let's just say this at the outset, if we could explain God, then he wouldn't be very big. If we could explain God, then we wouldn't believe in something very powerful, because there's so much that boggles our minds when it comes to God and Jesus and the Trinity that we just need to take by faith. Jesus said he's equal with God in works. Jesus said he's equal with God in knowledge. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. He's powerful and he's got knowledge. And showeth him all things that he himself doeth. Showeth him all things. He's got the knowledge, the same knowledge that God has, the Son has. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's got the power. He's equal in power to God. In Luke 7, I just read it in my Bible reading this week, John the Baptist is in prison. He sends word to Jesus saying, are you really the one that we're seeking for? Are you really the one that we've been waiting for? And Jesus sends word back to John the Baptist and says, tell John that the dead are being raised back to life. The blind are seeing again. The deaf are hearing again. The lepers are cleansed. Tell John all of the power that I have. And ask him if I could not be God after doing all those things. There's no way that he could not be God after doing those things. Demons being cast out. Only God could do that. And lastly, you said he's equal with God in honor. For the Father judgeth no man, verse 22, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. In John 8:58, move a little quicker. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus told them, before Abraham was, I am. They wanted to kill him after that. He was referring to the only person that ever said, I am, before that was in Exodus. When God told Moses said, I don't know what to tell him. What do I tell him when I say that you sent me? God says, I am that I am. And Jesus said in John 8, before Abraham was, I am. The same name. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. And in John 19, as the Jews were concluding their case to crucify Christ, and their ultimate reason was he made himself the Son of God. He's blasphemous in their minds. There's no way that he could be the Son of God. Well, the truth is, he was the Son of God. He just didn't come in the way that they wanted him. And people reject Jesus Christ, not because he's not God, but because he doesn't come to them in the way that they want him to. We have to accept God for who he is and how he came. You know, Philippians 2 talks about that. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was born in Nazareth. That guy. Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and we can know God. In the book, if the scriptures teach us that Christ accepted what the Bible says about him in the Old Testament, if he affirmed in the gospel records that he is God, where does this leave us? It leaves us with the wonderful truth that because Christ is who he says he is, we can know God. So it's scary that the person that we are indebted to, Jesus Christ, for saving our sin, it's scary that he's God. He not only is our Savior, he's someone that we need to emulate, that we need to look up to, that we need to revere. At the same time, it's encouraging because we can know God. In Philippians, Paul said, we looked at it several weeks ago, Paul said that he got saved just so that he could know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto death. His goal, his desire was just to know God. Is that our desire? Just to know God. Just to know him. In John 14, let's turn over there for our last passage. John 14. Acts 4 says, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. John chapter number 14. Jesus just gets done talking about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. Verse 2, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not the way. He's not a way. He's the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and I have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You know, in 1 John 2, it says, 2:23, it says that if you reject the Son, you don't have the Father. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. If you don't have that solidified in your own mind, how can you convince other people that they can have a supernatural change if you don't really believe that Jesus Christ is supernatural God? Jesus is God. This is the foundation, that rock that we have to build our house on. The last blank, only those who know Christ as their personal Savior can tell those who do not know who he is. You cannot do the witness action until you are the witness now. You have to be a witness now to be able to tell other people and be a witness. So, starting off, following Christ and fishing for men, foundational truth, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and only him. He was the only way that we could be saved from our sin. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this Bible study and this lesson. I pray, Lord, that you would bless in the weeks to follow as we dive into your word and look at things about how we can be better witnesses of you in fishing for men. Let's pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that we would have a good rest of the day, Lord, that we would be open to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.